All right, the setup is there. We've got the two Grand Slam coming up at 7:25. So a chance to have this conversation with you guys. If you're a Lions fan that was a doubter, are you now a believer? Or are you still holding firm that you don't see it with this football team? 248-539-9797. This was caller AC in Detroit from yesterday's show. He admitted this team has won him over. He's on board, John.
Yep. There's a lot of people who weren't necessarily, we thought they would be good, but something bad would happen. And there was a lot of people that thought the Hutch injury was going to be the moment that things started to return to normal or fall apart. It didn't happen. And then it was, well, Brad Holmes can't possibly get things done at the trade deadline. He's never done it before, and he waited till the last minute. Well, he waited till the last minute because he wanted it on his terms. He got it on his terms. And I those are just a couple of examples of people that I've heard from holding out. And now that Za'Darius Smith is here, now that they have just put together the best game, and Dan Campbell said it after the game, we'll talk to him at 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. He said this is the best performance I've seen. Offense, defense, special teams, all three phases were clicking. It wasn't just defense at the beginning of the year or offense in the middle of the year or special teams against Tennessee. Like, this was all three phases.
Ticket Texture says, how could someone not see it? What more do they have to do? We got the best coach in the league, all pros on both sides of the ball. What more do you need?
I'm always amazed at those that just simply, there are some that say until they win a Super Bowl, that we had callers. Until they win a Super Bowl, I won't believe. I can't believe. Been hurt too many times.
But yeah, but what a sad way to live, because you're not going to enjoy the run up to a Super Bowl.
Well, I think they're secretly enjoying it.
The confetti would fall and then you'd get like this epiphany. Oh, they're good. Really?
Well, there's always the individuals that are holding things back, because if they don't win the Super Bowl, they want to be the first ones to jump up and say, I told you so. Yeah.
Is that what it is? Is that why some of you are stubborn about this? Because it can't be a football thing. The defense lost Hutch, and they've gone on to win big road games in the division against some of the best teams in the NFC. Right? They've gone outdoors. They've avoided letdowns, because that's sometimes what, like, teams that truly aren't great, you know, right? They kind of overlook teams. They haven't overlooked anybody.
No, the only thing you could say is the one detriment to the season is obviously their loss.
Sure.
And if they, some people have said, well, if they had just played some of the starters in the preseason, maybe they would have been in a better rhythm offensively. All right, so
they're in that rhythm now.
But that's the group, and it's a very small group that you just simply can't please, because some of them may have said, "Well, you don't play anybody in the preseason because you don't want them to get hurt." You know, probably the same group that says you don't want to play them at the end of a game because you're up by 36 points.
Texter says this is not a mirage, John. Talent on the field and the scheme slash coaching are a notch above the rest of the NFL. They're the most complete team, and it's not close. Still will be hard to bet against Mahomes or Reed in the playoffs, but we are the better team, and they are tough to beat come playoff time. Sid in Nomai.
Yeah, I mean, once you get to the Super Bowl, there's a lot of factors that play into winning or losing that game. I mean, the Chiefs have been there before, and probably been the better team, except injuries took out both of their tackles. And then they, you know, Patrick Mahomes was under duress the entire game. And then Tampa Bay, with a, you know, old Tom Brady, ends up winning that Super Bowl.
When we bring up the ghost of the past and we bring up a section of the fan base that's negative or just doesn't see it, we get three letters. Ticket Texter says, I haven't heard Brian Chapman show lately. I wonder how he feels about those same old Lions that he used to promote. Is he the only holdout? We got to get up early. I'm not staying up as late as I used to.
He's not the only holdout. I've met other holdouts, but I don't know if they're Lions fans. Like, I don't think Brian's a Lions fan.
Right.
I don't. I know he's from here, right?
Yeah, he's a Nittany Lions fan.
Yeah, but I don't think he's a Lions fan, because I don't know how you can be a holdout at this point. I mean, they're now almost even money odds to win the NFC.
Yeah.
Let that sink in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall seeing conference odds this low for a team in the middle of the season. So I think winning it is still on the, you know, let's see what the matchup is. Who are they playing? How do the teams look at that time? You know, you never know. I mean.
But to the texter's point, like, I think they'll be favored against the Chiefs in a Super Bowl. I think they'll be favored against the Ravens in a Super Bowl. I think their team, pound for pound, is better than anybody in the NFL. They'll be favored in that game. Doesn't mean you're winning.
Well, if the Super Bowl was played right now, sure.
Yeah.
And if we're projecting from where they are now, I think you're right. But there's still a lot of tests to pass.
I just don't see how anything outside a couple catastrophic injuries, how this thing gets derailed. I don't. They're so deep. They're, you know, Anzalone, I honestly think they won't skip a beat.
I agree with that. And we had a text yesterday that said, I don't think Brad Holmes gets enough credit for constructing this roster. I agree with that text. I think this is maybe one of the deepest rosters, but I think it's also, it's made to appear deep because of the way that the coaching staff addresses it. And it's, hey, we got a shoulder injury with Taylor Decker on Thursday. I don't know what that was. He was able to go last week, but he wasn't the week before. Yeah. Was it simply, we're going to make sure that he is closer to 100% versus putting him out there because we think we can get by with Dan Skipper? Now, I don't like betting on that because and it goes back to the whole, are they load managing their team so that when they get to the playoffs, because last year the conversation was when they entered the playoffs, they were the healthiest of the NFC teams remaining.
Right. I mean, I think when you bring up Brad Holmes, I mean, the job he's done is ridiculous, but has he completely bulletproofed this team?
I don't know, like, that you can.
I don't think you can at some point. But are there holes he could still address? I mean, they went and got David Long yesterday just for depth.
Sure.
You know, put him on the practice squad with Anzalone. People were speculating that on text yesterday morning. Go make that move. You know, he took care of, he went and got Za'Darius Smith.
Yep.
I will ask the elephant in the room question. I actually think if they got home field, that they still might be able to get to the Super Bowl with Hendon Hooker. I think it would be reminiscent of Nick Foles. Because that Eagle team doesn't pull off what they do unless it went through Philly. Okay?
You're bringing this up just to say it doesn't feel like anything can faze this team. Not that you know.
What if the catastrophic thing happens? What if Jared Goff got hurt late in the year like Carson Wentz did? I mean, that Philadelphia team was 10-1 when he got hurt. He was the MVP candidate. A lot of parallels. Okay, so let me ask you. Has Brad Holmes bulletproofed this team? Because there's still a guy on the street that might just help in case that happens.
Who?
Ryan Tannehill.
Oh.
Is that the type of move that's necessary here?
No. Because at this point, I don't know that you're going to bring in a quarterback that will be able to grasp the concepts of Ben Johnson and the route trees, the protections, like you would need them to do to get to that point. If he had brought him in training camp, at this point, I would say, yes, he might be effective going in. At this point, I think your offense is going to be way too limited. Your protections are going to be way too basic to be able to accomplish that.
So we've seen a couple Super Bowl competitors entering the playoffs. The Eagles did it right with Foles.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the Arizona Cardinals that had to go to their third stringer? Remember T.J. Yates starting for the Texans? I mean, that's the alternative here. Is it just bulletproofing the team to try to bring somebody in?
Let me ask this question then. Okay, let's just play this out. 10-1 Philly, they lose their quarterback, they go with Nick Foles. So that puts the Lions winning this weekend to get to 10-1 at Indianapolis, and then, you know, the unthinkable happens, Goff is down. Does Hendon Hooker come in, and is he able to beat the Bears on Thanksgiving Day?
Yeah, potentially. Okay, I think the Lions can win any game at home. I
agree. All right. Then you have the Packers and the Bills. I don't think he beats the Bills. So now you are at two losses. You still probably are in position for the number one seed. And then it's at the Bears, at the Niners, and the Vikings at home. My question is, can they get to 15-2? Because 15-2 against Philly right now might be what has to happen for you to get the number one seed and play all of your playoff games at home. Can they get to 15-2 after going 10-1 and then inserting Hendon Hooker?
I mean, look, it's a riddle that can't answer. I don't know. There's an unknown there. That's what I'm just saying. You know, what's the thing that could take this off the rails? I think that's the only thing that could ruin this. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, Goff's playing very well right now. I don't think we have 32 high-level quarterbacks, so the idea that a backup is going to step in and be what Jared Goff is, I have a hard time believing that. Having said that, this offense, I do feel like, is set up to elevate whoever plays the quarterback position because of the design, because of the run game, because of play action, because Amon-Ra St. Brown is a great safety blanket, and I got to have it third down or fourth down. It elevates whoever is in there, and Jared Goff is the best guy for the job right now. If they were to lose him, does it end the season? I mean,
Odds would say yes.
Probably, yeah. But you'd still want to see what they could do because it could elevate Hendon Hooker, all the support around him. This is a weird place that we got to. All right, we got the two Grand Slam coming up at 7:25. Dan Campbell at 8:02. It's 97.1.
There's a lot of great moments in Detroit sports right now. A lot of great opportunity to watch some terrific events. And if you don't want to watch it at home, you don't want to be in the stadium, you don't want to be anywhere else, but maybe in a warm climate, you could do that in Vegas at Circa Resort and Casino, and do it next to six different pools on three different levels. That stadium swim, you're going to have a perfect view of the massive 40-foot-tall, high-definition screen. Everyone loves stadium swim. Everybody that I've talked to have been there. Jim and I have been there. It's a great opportunity. It's your favorite place to watch some of these events. You get swim-up bars, Insta-ready selfie walls, and one nonstop party. You could score your perfect game day spot with cozy day beds, private cabanas, or grab a lounge at the center of the action. You can reserve your spot today. It's 365 days of sports poolside, located at Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas, and it's right there on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim, all sports, all seasons. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Before the two grand slam, let's get to Heather's news.
All right, you guys. So the families of the Oxford High School shooting victims are still begging for answers nearly 3 years after the tragedy took place. To date, no investigation has been completed with 100% participation of individuals who are tied to the events leading up to and during the shooting. And obviously, there has been the criminal investigations, right? Both the shooter and his parents are behind bars. But the victims' families say that they've learned very little about the events leading up to the shooting. And now the families are demanding that the state government investigate. So the parents held this press conference on Monday. So following their, you know, news conference, Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel kind of held her own. And she stressed that her office has offered multiple times to investigate the shooting, but that her offers have been, she says, soundly rejected by the Oakland County Sheriff's Office, Oakland County Prosecutor Karen McDonald, and the Oxford School Board.
Yep.
So hopefully an investigation will take place. Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, we want to make sure we're doing everything we can to make it as safe as we can for these kids.
Yep. So Detroit might get its first snowflakes of the season this week, but while temperatures are obviously going to dip so that we can have the snow, the area isn't expected to get its first freeze of the season just yet. And whenever we do get this first freeze, it will be the latest a first freeze has been documented in 150 years.
It's been a nice fall.
The record is currently November 15th. That was back in 1915 and 1946. And when it comes to the snow we're expected to see, there's going to be some big changes in the weather on Wednesday. High winds, temperatures are going to drop, obviously. And then we could see some snow on Thursday and Friday. So be prepared to bundle up. I know I wore my winter coat in here because it's just like the first one to grab. I didn't know where my lighter jacket was. And I was like, I'm way overdressed because it was like 50 when I left the house. And I'm in like a parka. I'm like, this is, I'll be ready though. I'll be prepared.
The best is when you leave because we come in and it's a little colder.
Yeah,
you're going to leave
the building. Leave and it's 50 degrees and you're all bundled up. Yeah,
carry that with me. Southgate police are issuing a warning about some marijuana edibles that look a lot like some candy and snack products. They released a photo of all of the products as like this public service announcement. Obviously, they want to keep kids safe, but just really beware of the name on the packages. So instead of Oreos, there's Stonos, but they look just like Oreos, like the packages. There is M&Ms, but not, it's M&Ms, not M&Ms. There's THC Snickers. There's Reefers instead of Reese's, and then there's Starbuds instead of Starburst. But the packaging looks just like the candy you would buy. So just be aware of what's out there, guys. The Detroit People Mover is set to reopen after a three-month track makeover. The announcement was made on Monday on X. They said the People Mover will be back rolling nonstop for 36 straight hours over Thanksgiving. So this 36-hour nonstop service will run from 6:30 a.m. on Wednesday, November 27th, to 7 p.m. on Thursday, November 28th.
Get back you right through the game.
Yep. Yeah. Mike Tyson, if he wants to keep bringing in some cash following his fight with Jake Paul, he does have an offer pending from a porn site.
Yes. I'm sorry, what?
This happens quite a bit. So after, you know, Netflix viewers caught his bare butt on their TV as he walked away from an interview, now the adult site Cam Soda wants him to flaunt his bare booty on their website. They're going to offer him, they did say this is nothing in comparison to what you already made. They're going to offer him $250,000 for an hour of
Shaking his booty?
Of his booty.
Really?
<Yeah. laughs> Oh, well, I couldn't. I could never have a butt like that. But the vice president of Cam Soda.
You could.
That's all. That's what they want.
That's
they,
what they
want, right? That's what the people want. So they did write him an offer, and they gave him this letter saying that the gig is a perfect way to still get him in front of people and perform in a different, less strenuous way.
Huh.
And apparently,
it's a hell of an hourly wage.
It is. It's not really when you think about it. It's not bad for an hour.
Yeah.
But anyway, should we try to give away some money?
We're going to try. Okay. It's two grand slams.
Yes.
All right, so it's really easy, right? Stay on the line, don't hang up, and you most likely have the chance to win some money, right? You're going to get 60 seconds to answer 10 questions, $25 for each question you answer correctly, $2,000 if they get them all right.
Dan in East Point, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Morning, guys. How's it going? Morning, Heather.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Are you excited, Dan?
You ready for this? I'm ready. Let's go.
I'm ready too. Yeah. Like I said, Dan, don't hang up. It can get stressful if you don't know, but just pass and we'll get back to it. You're going to do great. Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right, let's play. Here we go. Who did the Dallas Cowboys play last night?
Houston Texans.
Who will be the New York Giants starting quarterback next Sunday?
Pass.
Who wears jersey number 23 for the Detroit Red Wings?
Pass.
The Alamo is located in this Texas city.
San Antonio.
Where did Dan Campbell play in college?
Texas A&M.
Who does Michigan play in football next Saturday?
Northwestern.
Who played Johnny Utah in the 1991 movie Point Break?
Keanu Reeves.
Who is the head football coach of the Indiana Hoosiers?
Pass.
Jenny Traft is a college football sideline reporter for this network.
ESPN.
Who leads the NFL in interceptions?
Daniel Jones.
Who will be the New York Giants starting quarterback next Sunday?
Daniel Jones.
Who wears jersey number 23 for the Detroit Red Wings?
Raymond.
Oh.
Just after.
No good.
Just after
good. The judges. Wide right. Wide right.
Five right?
One, two, three, four, five. Yeah, five right.
$125.
There you go, Dan. Nice job.
Good work.
That was a disappointing showing for me.
Oh, I don't think so at all.
You did great.
We've had far worse recently.
Yes, we have.
The recency bias doesn't help. I've gotten 9 and 8 before, so 5 is no good.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right. Well,
$125.
I set a high bar for myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's good to have high standards for ourselves, Dan. We'll put you on hold. We'll make sure you get paid. It's the two grand slam brought to you by Femininio Law, and we'll go through this, John. He just missed Lucas Raymond at the end.
Yeah.
Okay. In order, the Dallas Cowboys played
the Texans.
Got that correct. Uh-huh. Who will be the quarterback for the Giants?
It's not Daniel Jones. He's been benched. He's been put all the way down to third. It'll be Tommy DeVito.
Tommy Cutlets. In to save the Giants' season, ruin their draft position. Mm-hmm. Who wears 23 for the Red Wings? It is Lucas Raymond. The Alamo is located in this Texas city.
San Antonio, he nailed it.
Yep. Dan Campbell played at
Texas A&M.
Yep. Michigan plays Northwestern this Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Utah in Point Break.
Yep. Keanu Reeves.
Yep. Head coach of the Hoosiers. Yes. He passed.
He dismissed this one quickly. That's Kirk Cignetti.
Yeah. Jenny Taft is the college football sideline reporter for this network. I don't think he knew, so he guessed. He threw out ESPN. It was
Fox.
Yep. The All-American Girl, as Gus Johnson says, cringy every single week. Who leads the NFL in interceptions? He took this a different way. He said Daniel Jones.
Because he thought throwing interceptions. Throwing,
but Daniel Jones doesn't lead the NFL in thrown interceptions. Otherwise, I think we might have to give it to him.
No.
We were looking for the player who has intercepted the ball the most.
That'd be our very own Kirby Joseph.
Lions safety, Kirby Joseph.
It was a good showing.
A bounce back showing for this contest. We needed that.
Mm-hmm.
Stabilizing. Good, healthy, five right for Dan in East Point. Your next chance to win, later this week, Thursday, 7:25. Lions head coach Dan Campbell joins us at 8:02. It's 97.1.
I partnered with Ideal U at the start of 22, and I did it because I didn't like the way I looked at pictures. Kids had circled me on the sidelines, and I had no idea who that was. Who's that fat guy? Oh, it's me. So I decided to partner with Ideal U. I have dropped 70 pounds since then. I dropped 50 in the first 40. And here's the thing about Ideal U. They're going to assign you a weight loss coach. And in the process, they're there to support you, and they want you to achieve your goals. And it's about instant gratification. We live in a society of instant gratification. I lost 10 in the first 10 days. As I mentioned, 50 over the first 40. If you want to change your life as well, go to idealu.us right now and schedule your free consultation. That success is there for you. You could be 20, 30, or even 40 pounds lighter in just 40 days. Ideal U has helped thousands. They help me. They can help you as well. If you want to weigh less, go to idealu.us.
Awful. Wings go 0 for California. Losses to the Ducks, Kings, and the Sharks last night. Yeah, Macklin Celebrini, a rookie, with the game-winning goal. Wings outshot 104-63 on the California swing of that road trip. They've been outshot in 14 of their 18 hockey games this season. They're terrible 5-on-5. They're just a bad hockey team. They're tied for last place in the NHL's Eastern Conference. Look, there's going to be a lot of people that want to fire Derek Lalonde. I get it. It's not going to fix Yzerman's mistakes, but I do think as the season slips away, you look around and you realize hockey coaches get fired, like, often. 14 guys have been replaced in the last year, including by some playoff teams. Lalonde certainly isn't special. Lalonde certainly shouldn't be safe. And John, they come home on Thursday, and if they lose that game, going to hear it from the fans.
Where's the sense of urgency?
Yeah.
That's the biggest question. And where should that sense of urgency originate from? And so, yeah, obviously on the ice, it has to be generated by the players, but it comes from the coach. But if the coach isn't getting it done, that sense of urgency that tone should be sent by your general manager.
Like, okay, I don't think their roster is the worst in the East. So they're underperforming. And that does reflect on the coach. When you are getting outshot damn near every single game, when you are uncompetitive, right? You can't possess the puck and apply pressure consistently. That's a coaching issue. Now, it's not going to solve the issues. Like, the roster still isn't a top 10 roster or anything like that. But you have to give yourself a chance to right the ship here, right? To salvage the season. Get a new voice. Spark something. Thanksgiving is seen as one of those barometer points in an NHL season. If you're out of it by Thanksgiving, it's typically a sign that you're not making the playoffs.
It's 3 points. They're out of it.
They're three points back.
Yeah.
They're not out of it today. No.
Right.
But I think people are.
It feels like it because.
Thank you.
Yeah. It feels like it because they can't find a way to get any shots, let alone score. But even on the ones that they do, they're giving up 6 when they score 4. They're giving up 5 like they did last night when they score 4. Like, that's where they can't marry any type of consistent offense with consistent defense.
Well, and so some of this, they put Edvinson with Sider. The problem is that duo can only play about 25 minutes ice time together. The majority of the hockey game, you are putting out what? Terrible defense? Well, yeah. And they at least last year could outscore those problems. This year they can't put pucks on the net, so it's a combo of your goalie situation's tenuous at best, your defense is far from deep, and the offense can't get any pucks in consistently to apply pressure. It's a bad hockey team. Firing the coach doesn't fix everything, but I do feel like right now, what choice do they have? Again, 14 coaches in the last year have been fired, some on much better hockey teams. One that fired their coach and made it all the way to the Stanley Cup. I don't think that's happening, but don't you have to do something at some point? And Lalonde is very fortunate for two things. One, these are out west. It's football season. It was 10:30 last night. And it's football season. The Lions are taking all of the oxygen in the city right now. He's very fortunate. Otherwise, they'd be under even more pressure to do something.
You think Dan Campbell is
saving
his
job
or at least prolonging it?
A little bit, yeah, I do. What a guy, Dan Campbell.
Yeah, such a good dude.
He is.
Man.
We'll talk to him at 8:02 today. Let's talk Lions, okay? Let's not get hung up on the Red Wings right now. Let's talk Lions. John, you have a fun question for people today.
Yeah, I think what is the biggest reason? It's twofold. What's the biggest reason that this team is so good right now? And then on the flip side as well, what do you like most about the team or organization? There's a lot to pick from in regards to, like, what do you like most about this team or organization? Because you could start at the top, work your way all the way down. There's a lot of different options. But what's the biggest reason why they're so good right now? Is it simply Dan Campbell and the staff that is continuing to put these guys in position? Is it Ben Johnson as the offensive play caller? Like, he is in an unbelievable rhythm right now.
So if I'm hearing this right, you're giving people license to call in and brag about how good this football team is.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, I know.
This is a damn good football team. It's 9-1. Never happened before.
No shortage of things to talk about either. It's not like there's one obvious answer, because you're right. Brad Holmes stacked this team with all pros. So you could go to Brad Holmes, but ultimately the execution, the mentality, the culture, it's Dan Campbell. But if you want to get more specific on game day, I love how tough and creative this football team is. They appear to be really well coached, but they're also tough. Like, the safeties come down and play the run. The corners are not afraid to mix it up. The defense is playing fast, and they're hitting hard. And then offensively, that's been the deal all the time. With that offensive line, they move people off the ball. It's a tough, but it's not like boring 3 yards in a cloud of dust. It's creative, too. It's a fun brand of football.
So let's get a little more specific.
Okay.
What is the reason, then, why they're so good? Is it their, you know, the tagline, is it their grit? Because when you say toughness, you say it's the tone they send, it's the physical nature that they play with on both sides of the ball, is it simply that? I and I'll give you mine. Yeah. I think the number one, and this will not shock anyone, the number one reason this team is so good, it's also the one reason I think it's a little bit fragile, is the offensive line. This is by far the best offensive line in the NFL. And then you put on top of that, then you start layering it. Why is the offensive line able to be so good? Well, it's Ben Johnson calling plays and putting them in position for success. It's 50%, 51% run. And then you think about the passes, it's another, 20% play action pass. So this offensive line, which is aggressive, the best thing they do is run block. They're able to come off the ball and fire off on the defensive line 65 to 70% of the snaps. And you give them a license to kill, and they will kill you.
Strength of the football team is the offense. The strength of the offense is the offensive line. It all comes back to the engine of the football team.
Well, but I also say it's the most fragile. It's why you saw those positions be the first ones taken out.
They took out three guys.
Out three guys, because we saw what happens when Dan Skipper is in there. And trust me, Dan Skipper is good for this team. There's a lot of things that he brings in regards to extra offensive linemen on the field, of being able to move guys around a little bit, but I don't ever want to see him have to be out there for 70 to 75 plays a game. I don't want him starting. That's why you have to take care of your tackles. Inside, they're a little less fragile. Yeah, Frank, they are much better with Frank Ragnow at center, but they can maneuver some guys around inside, and they can cover up some deficiencies at the guard position that you can't with guys that are on an island.
they had a really good offensive line last year, and they had a really good offense last year, and they've picked up where they left off, and that's not really surprising. I think the area that they've taken the biggest leap is with their secondary, right? Is
that's the biggest leap, sure.
But that might be what has taken them from good to great to truly great. Is that now they can play complementary, is that their defense gets takeaways. Kirby Joseph leads the league in interceptions, and Brian Branch is not far behind him. And it's that safety duo. They can play too high. They both can come down and play the robber and the run game. They have corners. Carlton Davis, super big addition. The talk was he could play, but he just needed to stay healthy. John, he's been a really good addition for this secondary as a number one lockdown corner, and it's actually helped take some pressure off Terrion Arnold, who is starting to come into his own right now. The secondary is completely different than a year ago, and it's the biggest reason they've been able to absorb a loss of Aiden. They're going to have to absorb, at least temporarily, the loss of Alex Anzalone. More has been asked of that secondary, and more has been delivered.
Here's one on Twitch. My number one reason for the Lions' success is they took the loss in the NFC Championship seriously. They realized they must finish every opponent and not leave anything to chance. Might be an answer as to, you know, the question you raised yesterday, why is Goff still in the game? Now, I understand that, you know, Jacksonville's not coming back from that deficit, but how much of that is burned into the memories of the players, the staff, the organization?
Well, I think it's healthy that it is. I think it's so important that this team doesn't have a letdown. Campbell wanted to guard against it. You know, he said it's going to be hard to do what we did. When the season ended.
That's why you challenge in the fourth quarter. Like, oh, come on, can we just get the game over with? No, you challenge. You don't take anything for granted.
Yeah. Now, I will say, when you're up 36, the largest comeback in NFL history is 33. I don't like putting my quarterback in harm's way, knowing that's the one thing that could really upend the season. But I don't have an issue with them going for it fourth and two. I don't have an issue with them challenging. There's seconds on the clock. The guys who are in the game should absolutely be playing their ass off, and that starts with the coach, and it starts with the culture. 248-539-9797. Texter shouts out Dan Campbell is the biggest reason this team is so good. Says he's created a family atmosphere. Dan's the dad. The players play for each other. They can see how much they love each other. They don't want to let down their brother next to him, Scott, in Detroit. Sheila deserves the most love. The moment we got an owner who cares, has her head screwed on straight, she's brought an amazing coach and a GM, and she backed them early when things were tough. Another one says Sheila's the one that made all these hires. Doug and LaPierre says it starts with her.
Mm-hmm.
Main reason, Sheila. She's made the right hires. Andy in Chesterfield. Start at the top.
Yep.
More of your responses next. 248-539-9797. Dan Campbell at 802. It's 97.1.
When it comes to managing your finances, you're the bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your success. That's why I bank, and I think you should as well, with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants bankers are attentive. They're going to sit down with you, take the time to get to know you as they did with me, and build a financial plan that fits your unique situation. And they know that that plan changes over time, year to year, sometimes month to month. And when you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well. And they volunteer and donate to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of a 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Ticket text coming in. John Jansen has said, brag about your football team this morning. You're the favorites to win the Super Bowl. But a more specific question, John, was, what do you like most about this team? What has made them this good? 248-539-9797. And as it's predictable, but it's not wrong, you highlighted the offensive line.
Yeah, and I think everything starts offensively up there. And it's everything that we talk about kind of branches off of the success of the offensive line. It is Ben Johnson, yeah, the relationship that he has with Jared Goff, putting Jared in positions of success, but it's also, I mean, last year it was, 43% run. This year it's 51% run. He's also learning and finding out what his offensive line really excels at. Now, yeah, they're really good pass blockers. They're really good run blockers. And when you compare those two with the play-action pass, on top of being able to establish the run, because you could say it's David Montgomery and the way that he sets the tone early. Like, there are so many different things that you could pick from.
We always talk about, you know, offensive linemen. If you have to pass set 50 times a game, you are
hosed.
Yeah. It's much more fun to get after a defense, to attack, to put your shoulder pads into something, you know what I mean? To really get moving people in the run game. And this team, you're right, not just the run plays, but the play action play. The vast majority of plays, this offensive line gets to sink their teeth into the opponent, which is a huge win for them. It's also Ben Johnson realizing two of his three best offensive players are running backs, like skill players, are running backs. So we are going to up the run percentage this season to feature both Gibbs and Montgomery. And when you run the ball, Goff doesn't have to put himself in those third and obvious passing situations. Pressure not as consistent on him as a quarterback. Your defense off the field can't give up as many explosives. Everything starts with the offensive line. Now, I wanted to make sure I gave some love to the biggest area of improvement, why they're better this year than last year. The secondary, and it's obvious. It's Branch, it's Joseph, it's Davis, it's even Terry and Arnold. It's the moves they made this offseason to make them better.
Yeah, I mean, the secondary last year was the weakest part of the team. No question. That was the biggest discussion that we had had all offseason is how were they going to get better? Then they add Carlton Davis through a trade. Then they add Amik Robertson in free agency. Then it's, you know, Terrion Arnold and Ennis Rakestraw. Now, we haven't seen a whole lot of Ennis Rakestraw, but he may just be one of those guys that they're bringing along slowly because that's what he needs. And maybe we'll see him a little bit more a part of defensive game plans in the secondary in the later half of the season. Maybe it's not until next year, but that's kind of been one of the themes of this coaching staff as well as the front office is patience. Patience has paid off in developing a lot of guys. It's been patience with Levi Onwuzurike. And I don't know if there's been anybody that they've had more patience with. It's been patience with Aleem McNeil, you know, and the fact that he has developed into the one of the better defensive tackles. And once he proved that he would, then you paid him.
Ticket textures 248-539-9797 says the Lions are the perfect storm. If you remove one piece, it's not even close. You can't pick one. This team is generational. The best team on turf since the undefeated Patriots, Dallas in Royal Oak.
Well, it's certainly generational when you think about other Lions teams. Like, there's never been a Lions team like this.
I've seen someone say they're a team. They don't have star players. I actually would disagree. They have a lot of star players.
They have a lot of star players that are very unselfish.
Yeah.
The star players aren't concerned about, I need this many touches. Amon-Ra St. Brown could certainly be in that camp, and he'd be justified, I need so many touches a game. But he's not. It's a young player in Jameson Williams where you look at him and, yeah, he could say, I need more touches to be a part of this, and I could be so dynamic. But he's happy blocking. He's happy scoring touchdowns. That's why I don't care about his celebrations. If people were getting on him yesterday about that.
I don't care.
Like, there are so many guys on this team that could say, I just need the ball more. The running backs.
Yeah.
They're as unselfish a duo as you're going to find, but both of them are stars.
Texter says, Campbell and the team's willingness to embrace conflict, never let problems linger or fester, is a huge story. They address conflict with respect and directness and get things on the tracks moving forward. I think that's a huge part of why adversity doesn't really throw this team off, John. Everybody knows where they stand with them. Dan's a straight shooter. They know what they're going to get, and it's going to be his intensity, and he expects them to match it. I think it's a healthy relationship that he has with his players.
Well, and he's been very consistent from day one.
Yeah.
When Jared Goff in year one here in Detroit wasn't performing to the way that they needed him to perform, it wasn't an absurd call out, but he basically just said, we need Jared Goff to play better.
Texters are really running this up the flagpole. We brought up Dan. We brought up Brad. People have shouted out Sheila. This one says Martha finally handed the team to Sheila. So Martha gets the credit.
Going way back.
This one says, don't forget Jeff Daniels and Peyton Manning. They did their part to get rid of the curse.
Yeah. I mean, there's that too.
If you believe in curses, then sure, throw them a bone. Every little bit helps. Tim in Lake Orion, you're on 97.1.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, good morning.
Good.
Good. Hey, I just was saying, you know, it's a lot of love in that room, man. Every time I watch those post games, that's, you know, and you have that love factor. I know it might sound a little corny, but those guys will do anything for each other. They'll run through walls, and that's a big part of that team. I don't know if that's the culture, you know, or, you know, it's, but every time it's just, you know, you add that love factor into things, man. People will do anything for that, guys, man. That's I love this team.
Well, I think that all starts with Dan Campbell. And the fact that when there have been mistakes that he's made in deciding to go for it or not, or not getting a field goal team on, or the miscommunication that was, like, he's willing to take the bullet and admit that it was him, and put himself out there for the team. It creates an environment where other guys are willing to put themselves out there for the team. They have that it factor.
Yeah, I think it's clearly something that Dan Campbell sets day to day that you need from your leader. It's also the type of people you put in the room. Think about the guys that they have chosen to build around.
The guys that they have chosen not to build around.
Also important. But I thought Penei Sewell was a stone-cold lock when they drafted him because he was tough, but he was also like a hard-working cornerstone player. Aiden Hutchinson, high motor, never leaves the field, right? I mean, these are the type of guys that they've chosen to build around. Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah.
They paid him. They found him. He's one of these guys, high work ethic, good character.
Anzalone,
the guy that they prioritized at the start of this. Jared Goff, who they've stuck by, a resilient player. Even if, you know, he can't do this or he can't do that, he can do a lot of good things and he's resilient. And these are the guys they've chosen to pay and build around. Aleem McNeil just got paid. His play has gone up and up without Aiden Hutchinson. The players that they have chosen to lead this football team are good players. So when you talk about the love in the locker room, you talk about the camaraderie, it starts with finding those good players on draft day and free agency to make those cornerstone decisions. We got Lions head coach Dan Campbell coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. We have a lot to discuss still. College football playoff rankings are going to get real interesting the final couple weeks of the season. We'll get to those at 8:35. Dan Campbell's next. It's 97.1.